Brothers and sisters, this morning the word of God comes from the prophet Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, we are going to read from verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 10. It's one of the interesting books in the Bible, very practical. And even also academicians, theologians have even also recommended this book. I think Dr. Brian, because you teach what? Missiology. I think I'm just thinking that maybe you might have also quoted somewhere in your study guide from this book. Let me just share with you what happened. A friend of mine, one day he asked my wife whether she preaches or not, but my wife said, no, I don't preach. Only my husband does. That friend again asked my children, say, do you preach, being what pastors were children? And then the children say, no, we don't preach, only our father. And he came to me and said, how often do you preach? And I was just very honest and open to him. I said, no, I just preach once a month. I think if I may ask the same question, all these questions to some of us, we may also have the very same answer. And even to those pastors, I think they may also say, maybe we preach once a month. I think the main question is, how do we preach? As far as this book is concerned, how do we preach? We have the substance about what we preach. But the question remains, how do we preach? I taught that friend of mine, saying, once a month. The scriptures. Chapter 1. Now the word of God came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me. But Jonah rose to flee to the Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on aboard to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea, to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise! Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the Lord fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Another version that says, what is your business? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had taught them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hold me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O God, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O God, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the ship, saying, I come out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of the shoal I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life, and deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O God, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. May the good Lord bless all of us, and to him be the glory forever and evermore. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, as we study your word, meditating upon it, may you fill us with the knowledge and spiritual understanding. Through the reading of your word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the thoughts that you have given to me, I pray this in your name. Amen. As I said, the book of Jonah just quite interesting. I think all of us have heard it. We know that God sent Jonah to Nineveh, but he decided to go on his own way. If we can just look at the map, we might find that Nineveh was to the north of Israel, but where Jonah went or wanted to go was just the south. That's opposite direction. God is saying, go to the north, and then you find yourself going to the south. Go to the east, and then you find yourself going to the west. I think that's what we are doing in our life. What we are doing is quite opposite to what God is saying to us. But we also know what happened to him. He tried to run away from God. He had all the means, the money, the transport was available. He had to move, to travel from his house to Joppa just to take a ship. But what we read from the scripture, God brought a great wind, great storm. You can agree with me that God is even also doing the same to us as individuals, to the family or to the families, and even to the country, even to the whole world. Bringing a great storm. Sometimes we don't realize that this is a storm from the Lord. Sometimes we do blame other people. We may blame, very often, we are blaming what politicians. You see these politicians. We must be careful. Some of these practices can be part of a great storm from God. He got swamped by a fish. But what is quite interesting, especially chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, the very same prophet who disobeyed God, God gave him a second chance. After he repented, he gave him a second chance, and he obeyed. If we can read together, Second Kings, chapter 14, verses 24 through 28, we may find information about this prophet Jonah. He went to Nineveh to preach. It was even the shortest sermon that he preached. Only 10 words. 10 words, according to the version that I used. The message that he gave, he said, at the end of 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the message that the Lord gave to Jonah. If you count, if I count those words, there are only 10. So I was just thinking, I have given my students to write an assignment of about 1,500 words. Didn't say, it's contrary, these are just 10 words. Huh? Just say, at the end of 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah 3, verse 4. What we find very interesting in this passage, especially Jonah 3, verse 5, is that the people of Nineveh repented and God saved the city from destruction. Those who are studying missiology or lecturing missiology, they are saying that this book is about Christian mission. God is sending missionaries. Although the picture that we have, I think in our mind, most days, we are saying that the missionaries are people from overseas. That's the picture that we have. And we have agreed that, yeah, when they say, no, I am a missionary, and then they look at, no, you are not a missionary. We expect a missionary from overseas, not you. Forgetting that we have a home mission as well as a foreign mission. If you cannot be a missionary outside, you can be a missionary, even in your own family. Remember what God said through Luke. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the... You can't be just a missionary to the end of the world without being a missionary in Jerusalem. Some of us, even our brothers and sisters, and even our parents, have not yet received Jesus Christ up to now. And we are busy thinking about preaching to others, planting churches and whatever. It's fine. But what about the home mission? The theme is the presence of the gracious, merciful, and providing God. His presence. You know the story. Jonah is trying to run away from the presence of the Lord. So the theme is the presence of the gracious, merciful, and providing God. Jonah 1, verse 1, we read the following words. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. That statement gives us a lot of things. In the first place, Jonah was a very privileged person. Just to have a word of God coming to you, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And this is, according to the Bible, according to what has been recorded in the Bible, this is the second time. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 24 to 28, we read about the same thing, that God gave the message to this prophet Jonah. But that message, it was a message of great blessing for the people. Despite the fact that the people were sinful, but still God blessed them. The gracious, merciful, and providing God. He was privileged because the word of the Lord came to him. Perhaps in our case, we may say, we are also privileged. Why? Because on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the word of the Lord comes to us. Sometimes we just take it as a tradition. It's a tradition. Oh, you see, we have devotions on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We are not serious. The verse, or this statement, tells us that Jonah came to know the Lord, the will of the Lord. Because in this context, the will of the Lord was that he had to go. He had to go to Nineveh to preach, to warn the people about the impending destruction. Knowing God's will, it's always a problem. Very often, when God says, do this, we do that. When God says, please go this way, then we go backward. That is always our problem. Sometimes when we are doing this, we do this in the name of the Lord. Say, no, God has done this. It's you, not God. This is also a common expression in the books of prophets. And we can find this almost over 100 times when the statement saying that now the word of the Lord came to. It came to Isaiah. It came to Jeremiah. It came to Malachi. It came to today. The word of the Lord is coming to you. When you read the Bible, the word of the Lord is coming to you. When you listen to someone preaching, the Lord, the word of the Lord is coming to you. That's what is happening. It indicates that Jonah was the first recipient of the word of the Lord. Because before the word of the Lord was conveyed to the people in Nineveh, the first person to receive the word was Jonah. Those of us who are preaching. Sometimes we want others to repent and yet we don't repent. Mm-mm. That's not the way. That's not the way. If we want to preach to others, we must preach to ourselves. If I have failed to repent and I expect others to repent, I have failed to obey and then, no, why are you not obeying the word of God? What about you? This statement also means to see things from God's perspective. There can be an accident, a car crash, an accident somewhere. If you ask the traffic officers about the cause, they'll say, oh, no, I think the problem was overspeeding, the driver was drunkard, maybe the road, the water. They can see a lot of things. Sometimes they are not sure. And if you find those who are worshipping ancestral spirits, they say, no, something has happened. Maybe the ancestral spirits have been annoyed. Maybe that's why we have this accident. You see, perspective. Looking at this very same event, but from different one perspective. But this one, when it says the word of the Lord came to this prophet, that is to say, that prophet should look at the things from God's perspective. We can as well ask a lot of questions. Why did the Israelites go to exile? Why did they go to exile? Why? Why? There are just a lot of things that are happening even on us. Sometimes we don't ask this question. Why are these things happening? But the statement says, when he said, go, that's this part of verse 1, verse 2, God saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come before me. The timing of God's word. Usually, when God comes to me, when God comes to you, He has a message to give. You may have, you may be visited by your friend, you know, I've just come just to greet you. No, God does not just come and greet us. No. He gives a message, and even a very strong message. The problem that we have, we don't take God's word seriously. We take it lightly. Business as usual. Ah, no, that's what we do. We have devotion. It's fine. But are we serious? Just imagine how many messages or how many messages have been preached here from this prophet? How many messages? How many messages? And how many people have been transformed by the messages? When God comes to me, He comes with a message. And normally, something has happened. As we read from this passage saying, that is, for their evil has come up before me. Something has happened and God is sending a prophet. Something has happened and God is sending a message. Maybe we need to take the word of God very seriously, always. I know at the theological institution, always, it's where after one has preached and they say, and then we have all of the people who are always marking. They have got a red pen in their hands. They mark. What about the introduction? Was the introduction good? What about the passage? Was the passage good? What about that? What about that? But in the end, they have nothing. It is common. But I'm not saying that you should not analyze what I'm preaching. You can. But the most important thing is that you must get something for your spiritual growth. I think that is important. But if you just have your red pen, you will be like Jonah. Just a few things about this statement. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come before me. Isaiah 6, verse 9, God is also commanding Isaiah. He's not requesting Jonah or Isaiah. May you go to Nineveh. He says, go. And you remember also the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He's not saying, may you go and make disciples. This is not a suggestion. This is not a mere statement. It's a command. Reverend Zulu had to say that God is the Lord of hosts. He is a commander. But what do you do with the command? Someone is commanding you. The word of the Lord comes with a clarity. Go. Arise and go to Nineveh. Specific direction. Not saying, okay, you may go. But go. Arise and go to Nineveh. And it also sounds a note of reality. It's a reality. Because the Lord says, that great city. Go and preach to that great city. Yesterday I was with some of the students. I say, can you accept an offer if someone say, please, can you go to UNISA and preach there? Go to UNISA University and preach there. Some people say, I know, those academicians, I think they won't even listen. That inferiority complex. Sometimes we have that inferiority complex. It came with a sounding word, reality. But it also gave Jonah a heavy responsibility. Because the content of preaching say, go or and preach against it. Go and preach against the great city. It's not simple. It's a heavy responsibility. It's a heavy responsibility. But with the help of the Lord, with the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we have ability to go and preach to that great city. Whatever great city. Because God is greater than that greater city. He's greater. But what we find in verses 2 and 3, quite interesting. Because verse 3, he's saying, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Quite interesting. He decided to go to the south via Joppa. He had all the opportunities, all the means, the money, the ship was available, the captain, crew, the cabin crew, everything. When he weighed the message from the Lord and the privileges or the things that he had done, he said, no, I think that's too much. I think this time only, I think I have to do what I want. That's what we read from this verse. But maybe we may think, or maybe try to think carefully, if indeed Jonah was free from the presence of the Lord. Considering what the psalmist says, Psalms 139, where shall I go to run away from the Spirit of the Lord? Where? And the psalmist is giving a lot of examples. If I can go up, the Lord is there. If I can do that, according to the psalmist, we cannot run away from the presence of the Lord. But we do run away from the presence of the Lord. But the question is, how does God deal with the disobedient prophet? How did he deal? How does the Lord deal with the disobedient prophet? I mean the one who is run away from him. Verse 4, there is an answer. According to other versions, it says, God sent a great wind. That's the first step, how to deal with a disobedient prophet. He sent, specifically, he sent that great wind, specifically, to deal with Jonah. But it's very unfortunate that when the wind started blowing, when the storm came, Jonah was sleeping. Huh? He was sleeping. And remember also, when Jesus was praying in the garden of Gethsemane, the disciples were sleeping. You see? And even some, even today, they do sleep with the Bibles in their hands. That's very unfortunate. If there is a place where people are always sleeping, always places of prayers and worship. But when you say amen, it's when they say amen. Just joining the amen group. Yeah, you can agree. Almost everybody, at least one point or another, we have at one time we have slept in the one in the place of worship. But normally, when someone is preaching, it's when they sleep. But when someone is singing, they don't sleep. He was sleeping when the storm came. This is a very serious thing. Sleeping when the storm came. But perhaps it can be a relief, because also, you remember, on the Sea of Galilee, when the storm came, Jesus was also sleeping. But not in the same way, because what Jesus was doing was waiting for the response. How should they respond to the problems? How were the disciples respond to the problems? You know, in the first place, they had to panic, to say, let's do this. When they failed, they said, no, let's go to the master. Then they went to the master, and the master had just to command, be calm. And the storm ceased. He was sleeping, perhaps he was tired. Until the time when the captain had to awaken him. And then they say, verse 5, they say, no, or each one of us should cry to his God. If you read the Bible, the word God there, it's a small G. What does it mean? It's not a capital G.
It means that those sailors were worshippers, but they worshipped not the great God, the God of heaven, the one who created the world, heaven and earth. Now they say, let each one of us worship, pray to his God. Maybe something may happen. You know, in different countries, there's a time where we have, interdenominational prayers, where they have Muslims, the members of the African traditional religions, and representatives and what, and they say, let's pray. Perhaps the rain may come. And it's very interesting to find that the people who claim to be pious, biblical, they join that group. They are not sure whose God is going to bring rain. They are not sure. It happened also on the sea, in the same way. But it failed. It failed. And the next step was, they said, no, guys, nothing is happening. What should we do? Let's just take the cargo that we have, and we should throw them. Maybe something can happen. Do you know what happened? They lost even their property. Some commentators are saying that because the salary depended on the cargo that they were transporting, they were just guessing, saying that perhaps that month they had problems. They couldn't even receive their salary. Why? It's because of that man, the man who flee from the presence of the living God. This means the cost of running away from God. It's very high. It's costly. If someone is running away from God, it's costly. We have evidence. One, this Jonah, he had to travel a longer distance just to catch the ship. Secondly, he had to pay for the fare. And then thirdly, when something happened and then the sailors had even to throw their cargo. That's what happened. Perhaps the message that we may have is that when we are running away from the presence of the Lord, one, we lose our relationship with Him, which is also very important. Our relationship with Him is important. And we may lose also our property and also even our life. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. But Jonah's flight was not without spiritual fruits. You know what happened? Whatever was happening on the sea, God was conveying a message to the sailors. They tried all that they could to save themselves, but they failed. That's why they had to say, what is wrong? How many were you? No, there was a guy. Let's go to him and find out from him. That's why this man had to ask a lot of questions. It should be verse 8 and 10. They had to cast the lots, and the Lord fell on Jonah. And then that's when they started confirm their blame. First they had that idea that something is wrong. There must be a person in our midst who has done something. So they had to ask his name, what is your occupation? Where are you coming from? What is your country? What people are you? So the guy, after being awakened, he had to answer those questions in short. He said, I am a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land. The sea, that was giving them problems through the wind. And Jonah had to say, even the wind, he's the one who made the wind. He's the one who made even the sea. And he's the one even who made you. That's the one whom I worship. It was a great message. He was trying to respond to those series of questions. But at the same time, he had also to preach to them, and cautiously. But what the Bible says, it says that the sailors were more afraid. And they asked him, "What is this that you have done?" But they asked this question, and then the Bible says they were told what has happened. And what we have is that they worshipped the Lord and they sacrificed to the Lord. And now, what the writer is showing, he's not writing a small g, but now he's writing a capital G, meaning that they sacrificed, they worshipped, they prayed now to the God who created the heaven and earth. Should we say that they were witnessed, the message reached them, but not in a direct way, but indirect way? At first, they say each one of us should pray to his God with a small g. But later on, they say that they made a sacrifice. They prayed to the Lord with a capital G. That's how the message was conveyed to the sailors. That's the fruit that came after the fleeing from the presence of God. He was thinking that now I'm running. I'm not going to preach the word of God. Because he thought that maybe it's only in Nineveh which is where he was supposed to preach. But God used that opportunity. Very often, God can use each and every circumstance, each and every situation. It will be at the funeral. God wants to touch some individuals. He may invite his beloved one, saying, "Please come," so that those individuals should be preached to. Our God is a great God. He is merciful. He is gracious as well as providing. Brothers and sisters, let me just end by just highlighting some of the things that we may have from the passage. We see in the passage that Jonah repented. Sailors repented. And if you would want to continue reading, we would see that even the people of Nineveh repented. That means you and me can also repent. God has got a means to save us. That's why he sent his only Son, begotten Son, Jesus Christ, according to John 3, verse 16, First John 5, verse 12, where it says, "Whosoever has a son has life." That's a means of salvation. He is merciful, gracious, and providing. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking unto us through the word that was read, and perhaps also the explanation that has been given from the few verses from your word. Yes, you are so gracious and merciful and providing. We are privileged. We have Bibles in our hands. We have Bibles in our homes. We have even devotions here, and even the classroom and offices of God. And we want to confess before you, O God, that sometimes or very often we just take things very lightly, business as usual. Forgive us, O Lord. And may you make us to start afresh. And help us to be serious always, and we should put into practice whatever word comes from your mouth. Bless each one of us. Bless your people. Bless your church. Bless
whatever we do in accordance with your will. In Christ we pray. Amen.